Today we are fighting many things on many fronts. As pie-in-the-sky schemes run rampant at home, foreign aid, often to our enemies, goes on to the point of obvious lunacy. In 1939, your dollar was worth 100 cents. By 1943, it had dropped to 80.3 cents. 1951 found it down to 53.5 cents. Today, it is worth only 43.9 cents. Well, at this rate of decline, in 1985, the dollar will be worth only a nickel. People in foreign nations, many in nations now opposing everything we stand for, hold $30 billion in short-term credits, redeemable in gold. We have only a little more than one-third of that much gold in Fort Knox. And $10 billion of the $13 billion stored there is legally required to cover nearly $41 billion issued in Federal Reserve banknotes. This leaves $2.682 billion in free gold to meet the $30 billion in gold payable to foreigners on demand. What this all means is that the current outflow of gold, if continued at the present rate, will be exhausted in about 26 months. Since 1946, so-called foreign aid has cost the American taxpayers over $122 billion. And right now, the president is asking for more foreign aid, notwithstanding the cost of a war in which we have already had four times as many men killed as we lost in the Revolutionary War. And on top of it all, the White House goes ahead with plans to put a man on the moon. Well, landing on the moon is one thing, but I'd rather have the president show us that he can land on his own feet. When an occasional congressman or senator has placed his head on the political chopping block by having the audacity to question the idiocy of spending our way into national bankruptcy by financing our enemies and by paying loafers for their indolence, the president, in his most unctuous tones, has said, "Come, let us reason together." The shocking evidence would indicate that somebody somewhere along the line in a position of influence has been saying instead, "Come, let us treason together." England owes us $6.8 billion in actual loans made in World War II. And how does England pay us back? By coming to the rescue of Castro, by trading with Soviet Russia, and by doing business with Red China. And then there's France. Twice the flower of American manhood has been strewn across the French landscape. No charge for the lives lost, for the bodies maimed, or for the billions of dollars spent in rescuing France from slavery. Over and above all these expenditures of our own, we let France borrow, in cold cash, over $4.5 billion. And how does France pay us back? With an order from de Gaulle to get out of their country. As the great Fred Allen once said, the French do everything through their nose except pay. The nation's Uncle Sam saved from slavery in World War I still owe us from that war a total of $14.5 billion. Hey, and by the way, we let Cuba take $10 million back in the pre-Castro days. Did you know that the free Cubans actually paid us back the $10 million and added over $2.25 million for interest? That's the kind of a government our State Department betrayed so that Castro could take over Cuba. Italy still owes us $1.5 billion from World War I. And what did Italy give us? The mafia? It was Bob Considine who once remarked that it was cheaper for us to have Italy as an enemy in World War II than as an ally in World War I. Russia and all her satellites owe us money in boxcar figures. Now, certainly these nations are not our friends. Then who and where are our friends? Canada, supplying Red China with $1 billion worth of wheat? To all these nations, it's time we pointed to Uncle Sam and told them, he's not your uncle. He's not your dad. He owes you nothing. You owe him much. And if you expect us to continue to consider you our friend, you better start demonstrating your friendship right now. States of America has been no accident. History shows that a lot of good Americans have made a lot of sacrifices to create and maintain this truly wonderful nation. Most of the men who signed the Declaration of Independence wound up penniless. George Washington entered the presidency as a rich man and left it as a relatively poor one. Boy, they sure switched that one around in recent years, haven't they? When our little baby of a nation ran short of the silver to back up the paper money, nobody said, let's just make the coin silver on the outside and brass in the middle. Well, it's different today. Of course, we have a president who has more brass. But folks, Martha Washington actually took the silver service from her dining room and gave it to her country to melt down for silver coins. Now, I don't seem to recall that Lady Bird has donated any of her silver to the treasury, and I haven't read anywhere that the president sent any of his fine purebred steers up to feed the starving people in Appalachia. And while I'm on the subject, I'd like to clear up a widespread misunderstanding about the cattle on the LBJ ranch. Somebody down there made the wild statement that the LBJ cattle are the direct descendants of the cow and the bull that Noah took with him on the ark during the Great Flood. This is not true. The LBJ cattle had their own ark.